Morning, Buzz.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Geez, cricket's in trouble, Clarkie.
What do you mean? Trouble. What do you mean?
Oh, did you have a look at the television coverage over the weekend and see tens and tens and tens of thousands of empty seats?
Yeah, I did, and I think that was probably expected as well, playing the West Indies, starting a test match on a Wednesday that a lot of people thought wouldn't get to a Sunday.
Did you see the one day as England versus Australia?
Yeah, token one day series as well. Yeah, but did you see the TV rights, the broadcast deal, what they pay for?
Yeah, but I think they
that's their money.
Yeah, look, I've got a few views on this. If I could just
go for it.
I think during COVID, with people got very used to the comforts of their own home and the air conditioning and the big plasma televisions and the wonderful coverage that Fox and Channel 7 bring into our lounge rooms. I just jumped onto Ticket Tech and looked at the price of, a family ticket, an average family ticket to go to Adelaide. It's about $120 for family.
Yeah.
which I guess isn't too bad. By the time you get a meal, look, there's enormous interest rate stress, the cost of petrol, and I think families are struggling. I really do. And if you're going to pay good money to go and see a sporting event, you want to see a contest. And as much as the West Indies were gritty and they hung about for, you know, the best they could, we all knew who was going to win this game long before it started. And it's funny, Clarkey, I turned on England-Pakistan after it and I really enjoyed it because I don't know who's going to win and there's a really exciting run chase coming on and I've far more enjoyed it than what I did the Australian-West Indies game.
Oh, no, Buzz, I think you're spot on in and around how much cricket that's getting played and families can't afford to take their kids to every game. So you got to make a choice. Is it the World Cup? Is it Australia versus England? Is it a test match? And then you got BBL. Don't forget that as well. So I agree with that. The cost is, I think the cost of tickets is way too expensive for the amount of cricket that's being played. The other thing as well, you're 100% right about West Indies. Everyone knew Australia was going to win. It was how many days it was going to be in. And that's what I actually think the West Indies deserve. You know, I was very hard on them. I thought if it goes 3 days, it'd be a miracle. So I think they deserve credit for fighting.
It's sad, though.
But it is sad, yeah. And it's not the way we want to start the summer.
You know, growing up and when you were a young fellow at Liverpool, mate, I can remember Sheffield Shield games getting bigger crowds than what we had at that test.
Yep. Yeah, there's it's something really there. Bad. There's something there. I agree. Well, I think we talk about it every day. You know, what has this Australian team done to get fans offside so badly? You know, we're in here trying to work it out every day.
On a more positive note, couldn't agree with you more about the Socceroos. And you know what? I'm really, really hoping that it has a knock on effect to the A League because the A League's been down and struggling big time for 2 or 3 years and. There were so many of those boys who so proudly wore our jersey in Qatar. I really hope people start turning up to watch our local comp because I think what it's shown is there's a lot more class in that competition than a lot of people were led to believe, and it'd be really nice to see them get a kick along from it.
Now, it was going to be an interesting time, Buzz, in regards to, the CBA. We're still waiting to see what happens with the salary cap as well. And I'm sure that clubs, they're probably sitting on their hands waiting to see what it's going to be before they finalise their offers to players at the moment.
Yeah, Jared, I think we're going to see a pre-Christmas rush of player signings. The reason being, last Friday at NRL headquarters, Clint Newton and the RLPA, three clubs, NRL executives, the RLPA board got together and made considerable progress on the negotiations, particularly for the finalising the salary cap. And from the people I spoke to inside that meeting, I'm very, very hopeful that it will be solved this week. And what that means is the likes of Latrell Mitchell, Cody Walker, Damien Cook at the South Sydney Rabbitohs, who have all but agreed to stay there, will get their final numbers because Blake Solly will know what their cap is. and I'm sure they will sign before Christmas. Matt Burton at the Canterbury Bulldogs, another one. Gus and Cameron Serraldo have offered him a significant pay rise and a long-term deal. They can't actually sign him or do a deal because they don't know what the salary cap is. So that's why this week is so important. Some lesser players, not quite in their league, Nathan Brown at the Parramatta Reds. I think if the cap goes up to what it's supposed to be, to what they're hoping it'll be, that Nathan Brown will sign at the West Tigers. I wrote a week ago that he met Tim Sheens at a North Strathfield coffee shop. Also, players like Marty Tapau at Manly, he is not getting paid now. He's finished at Manly, doesn't have a club. But, for example, if Nathan Brown goes to the West Tigers, that will trigger an opportunity for a Marty Tapau-type player. Same with Newcastle. He's also talking to Newcastle. Brian To'o will sign at Penrith. So it's a really, really important week for the game. This has been going on 12 months, these negotiations, so very, very slow off the mark. There was too much to do during the year. It got put on the back burner, but look, I'm hopeful these boys will all get their futures settled.
Buzz, where are we at with the Parramatta halves? Can Parra keep both these boys, do you think?
Oh, look, I think Parra can keep both these boys, Clarkey, but I'm not confident that they will.
Okay.
And I've done a column today in the Telegraph on Mitchell Moses and basically saying that when is $1 million not enough for a player who hasn't won a grand final with his club? Very, very good playmaker, prime of his career, 28 years of age. And he's been offered over $1 million to stay there. But the West Tigers, your joint, and Canterbury have gone in with another couple of $100,000 a year. But it's sort of, I'd love to see him stay there. I can remember the great Parramatta side. I remember Peter Sterling back in the 80s. He knocked back a squillion to go to Manly. You know why? Because he loved Parramatta. He wanted to win titles at Parramatta. All that great side, Price, Ella, Kenny, Cronin, they were offered much more, but they stayed. And it's disappointing to me that they look like losing Mitchell Moses when I think what they're offering him is a really, really fair coin. I really do. And we've seen some great examples recently, no more so than Cameron Munster. He could have made $300,000 a year more at the West Tigers or at the Dolphins. You know what? He stayed in Melbourne, not only because he was guaranteed probably more success there, but because of the jersey, because of the logo, because of the mateship. And I wonder in what degree that exists at Parramatta and why every time they have big-name players come off contract, it's played out so publicly in the media. You go back to Andrew Johns in Newcastle. You know why Andrew Johns stayed there? The Wallabies offered him everything they had. Other clubs, I remember Wayne Bennett, the Broncos, offered him enormous money, but he stayed there because of the town and the team and that camaraderie that existed there in Newcastle and that fan base they've got. Where's that at Parramatta? He's been offered $1 million and he won't sign. He hasn't won a comp. Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think? He's obviously, look, he's a new father. He's got to do his best, but I don't know.
I think he should be staying. I honestly think if he can get fair money, I think he's got, you know, that he hasn't won a grand final, but they did great to make the grand final last year. I think he's loved by the Parramatta fan. I think, they want a grand final, there's no doubt. But I think he's found a home there. And I think we take that for granted as athletes, that we think the grass is greener. It's not, it can't just be about money. He's going to make great money. You know, yeah. If the difference is, like I say, 100 grand or 150 grand, I think he should take that hit and stay at Para and fight his backside off to try and get a grand final for Para.
It's when you've got the win-loss ratio at a new club, and, you know, you talk about the Tigers as well. Yeah. How many L's are going to be on the ledger there? And you're battling each week. Yeah. What's your motivation to go? Is it looking at your bank account every day? Mm. You want to be playing finals football. You want to be getting W's beside your name. That's what it comes down to. And that's why players stay to keep that momentum going to play, you know, deep into sort of, you know, September.
Mm. Yeah, it's really, really interesting because you work. They've worked for 6 or 7 years. Mitchell Moses has been at Parramatta, and they're in a window, I think, despite losing Papalihi to the West Tigers and Reid Marnie to Canterbury. I think so. You're basically throwing out 6 or 7 hard years for those faithful supporters. Mm. There's no supporter group like that Blue and Gold Army.
They should be playing finals footy, right? Even if they're not in the grand final with their team, they should definitely be in the top 8 for the next couple of years.
Yeah, well, I think they've only missed it once with Brad Arthur there. But, you know,
Yeah. And you're right, Berkey. That's where you want to play. You want to be in those big games. And for Mitchell Moses, right now, he's not, he's in contention. If Cleary gets injured, he's in contention for Origin. But if Cleary's fit, he's not going to play Origin. So finals footy is the pinnacle for him.
Imperative that he plays.
It's the pinnacle for him.
To keep in the front of minds of the next coach up, you've got to be able to play that that finals football.
Yeah. Guys, I'm also a little bit critical of the Parramatta Eels here because I don't know how you manage a salary cap and have your two gun playmakers coming off at the same time. And these sort of signings need to be staggered. So when you get to a point where they're off, you're not trying to keep two of them. Mm. And Dylan Brown had a fantastic season, great World Cup for New Zealand.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins are throwing everything at him. Mm. There's a couple of other clubs too. I'm not 100% sure who they are, so I won't start, you know, suggesting things. But I just don't know how well the Eels have managed the situation.
Now, Buzz, the Victor Radley incident with the, was it the Irish player just at the end of England's campaign at the World Cup, how's that all going to play out? So the integrity unit still looking at it?
Yeah, the integrity unit still looking at it, Jared, and because he played up during the year in that footage that got out of the New South Wales Blues dressing room when he was sitting next to Joseph Suaalii, he's got a suspended fine hanging over him. And look, he's got a pretty poor track record for off-field misdemeanors, and even though this happened at a World Cup or 24 hours after his England team was knocked out, the integrity unit is getting every bit of information it can get. A really, really interesting one for the Roosters because they want him on deck at the start of next year, but they're treating it very, very seriously. And look, they're just getting the final bits of information together this week, and I think by Friday we'll know whether he'll be starting the year or whether he'll get a significant fine for the Roosters. Look, the bottom line is, the Irish player was carrying on like a mug and was the aggressor, and Victor was defending his coach. But sometimes you've got to walk away from these things when you're a professional athlete. And, so we'll be watching this one closely to see how it pans out.
Every time, because you're going to be under the spotlight. Everyone's got phones these days, Buzz. That's the thing. Everyone's got phones. Everyone can see what's going to happen. You've got to walk away. It's anything in any type of media spotlight. You've got to turn the other cheek.
Yeah. One of the reasons I think everyone loves Victor Radley, and I'm talking non-Roosters fans too, is how tough he is. And but he's at some stage he's got to do exactly what you said and just turn the other cheek, walk away, ignore it, and get on with it. So he does have that hanging over him, the suspended fine. So it'll be interesting to see what Andrew Abdo and his integrity and do about that one.
Buzz, what's this about 99-year licences for clubs that you've written about?
Really, really interesting story Jared, every 5 to 10 years, the clubs now have to sign a licensing agreement. And their licensing current ones end at the end of next year. When Peter Vallandis came in, he promised that no club, when he joined the NRL 3 or 4 years ago, he promised that no club would be kicked out of the competition against their will. So instead of going through the rigmarole, of doing a contract or an agreement every 6 or 7 years, he wants to do 99-year licences. They're called perpetual licences. And what that will do for some of the Sydney clubs that now and again run into financial difficulties and are on shaky ground, it basically confirms their long-term survival. And I think it's a really, really good thing. I'd never, ever want to see another North Sydney Bears, Western Suburbs Magpies, Newtown Jets just disappear. But there is one proviso, and that is about integrity. And as Peter explained to me on the weekend, I'll use an example. Gold Coast Titans, brilliant owners now. Really, but just say in 20 years they decide to sell. And then 12 months after they decide to sell, the new owner is found to be an international cocaine smuggler and goes to jail. Well, you've got to do something about their license. You've got to make sure that that person never, ever has anything to do with that club again. And it'll only be issues like that that put the future of clubs in danger. And I just think it's a great thing for rugby league to know all those traditional clubs, not just the expansion teams, not just the Broncos, Storm, Raiders, but all these Sydney clubs will be there, for another century.
Buzz, enjoy the week. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you too, guys. Cheers.